I want to ask you to take a moment to think about what we are going to do in a few minutes from now. As the Baal Tokeya grasps onto this ancient chetza that has been present from the time of Avram's trudge of the mountain through the sojourn in the desert, at the foot of Har Sinai, at the walls of Jericho, as a clarion call to war, and as the heralding of Mashiach Tzikenu, this chetza, this shofar, what is its secret? While the full answer to this question may never be known to mortal man, I believe that its answer is found once again with the narrative of Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, who could have easily, at age 135 plus years old, decided to negotiate with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He could have asked him to please not make him sacrifice his child. He could have reminded HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he had promised that Avram's Zera will be established through Yitzchak, that at the very least to have it done by someone else. He could have hesitated, he could have equivocated, but yet he chose instead to continue to climb, to continue to ascend, until the last moment he saw Ayal HaNechaz B'Svach, the ram struggling forward, moving forward. And he saw the ram's horn curved and bent, but ultimately facing Shemaima. The ram and its horn became representative, became identified, became a substitute for the man himself. And hence, from those early beginnings, the shofar represented man's soul, man's journey, like the sulam, ascending Rosho Magiha HaShemaima, man's journey on this place, on this earth, on this physical plane, but ascending upwards. And as such, for the rest of time, when man would be beckoned to look upwards, when they would seek to climb, when their attention would have to be called Shemaima, then the shofar took on that role of focusing their attentions and elevating their intentions, Har Sinai, the desert, Jericho, etc. The shofar came to represent man's constant, often laborious, search higher. This idea is expressed throughout the literature, throughout the Rishonim, throughout the Acharonim. When we think about the Shitas HaRambam, famous position in the third paragraph in Hilchos Teshuvah, Uru Yisheni Mishnosechem, the shofar comes to waken a person from a slumber. Now that doesn't mean that literally a person is asleep. What it perhaps means is that a person is immobile. They're breathing, they're exhaling, they're inhaling, they're getting up, they're going about their life. But is their vision, is their focus upward? Is their focus towards growth? Is their focus towards man's elevated life journey? And that's such a beautiful comment by Rav Hirsch. Again, the natural state of man is to exhale and to inhale. But just by doing that, beauty is not created. Something creative is not aspired to. But the shofar is taking man's state of being, exhaling, inhaling, breathing, and turning that shemaima, turning that upwards. Again, the shofar representing man's journey, man's moving forward, alo na'ale, man going up, Avram ascending the mountain, Vayisa Einav Vayar Samako Merachok, lifting up one's eyes and seeing some distant place to aspire to and to travel towards. And if that's the case, it's no wonder that when we seek HaKadosh Baruch Hu's forgiveness, it's the shofar that we turn to. Alei Hashem B'Truha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, following the Chet HaEgel, was appeased by the shofar. Now, that's not because there's some magic, there's some mysticism in the shofar. It's because that when Bnei Yisrael showed their desire for Aleh and for Aliyah and for Alon Na'aleh, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded in kind. Kaviyachol became elevated when Bnei Yisrael elevated themselves. Again, the shofar representing our journey that's often bent, sometimes cracked and broken, but always ideally facing upwards. When I gave this Rasha and Shul, second day of Rosh Hashanah, I commented that at that very moment, 17 years ago, and who could forget the indelible images of those hours and of those days? And we think about people living in Muncie or Brooklyn or other places, getting in their cars to travel down to the site of two burning buildings. We think about people, firemen, policemen, Hatzalah, other workers, traveling up their building, knowing perhaps they would never come down. What inspires that ascent? And obviously there's something within man in its most beautiful state of Alo Na'ale, going up, Vayisa Eina Vayar, to continue to look upwards. And what a beautiful, tragic, but exquisitely beautiful aspiration of a nation and of a people of Alo Na'ale. In my time here in the shul, it's been so inspiring to see that journey upwards. To be honest, before I took this position, I had been warned that this is a place of machlokas and that it might not be a place of growth. I'm not sure if that description was ever true. But what is certainly true is that there has been a commitment for many years, both personally and communally, of Alo Na'ale. And while that is certainly true of a communal energy of upward mobility and upward growth, that, of course, needs to begin with the Yachid. I spoke with someone from our shul recently as we were trying to set up a time to meet. He said that any night is good besides Tuesday because that's the night I go to learn. I think it's fair to say that in this person's 40-plus years in the world, not many of those years or even minutes were spent with a chavrusa. But that's the culture in so many families, among so many people in the shul, Alo Na'ale. People who had never gone to Minyan before during the week have become regular Minyan attendees. People who never used to ask shaylas now are medaktik, or now so careful at keeping halacha properly. And this is the time, this moment of time, to ask of ourselves and maybe even demand of ourselves, are we on that path upwards? Are we ascending? Are we making time to learn? Are we creating, and are we in a journey of creating homes of sanctity and lives of spirituality? More dedication towards tefillah, more exactitude in mitzvos. Alo Na'ale. We say in the tefillah, ma'anu, mechayenu, where are we? What are our lives? All of those questions feel joyous as long as we feel that we are on a path of ascent. Many of us here in the shul, or perhaps others listening to this recording, have experienced hardships with their children. And when we experience those hardships, first and foremost, we acknowledge and we embrace to the best of our abilities those hardships, knowing that these challenges are here from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all we can do is embrace them and say, now what? How do I continue to climb? And even when we think about our own children's pain and the challenges that circumstances bring to our life, as long as we feel that they are on a journey, as long as we feel that as difficult as it sometimes is, that they are ascending. So then there is joy in that. There is comfort. There is solace in that. Life's pain is enormous if we're just standing still in the muck of life, in the struggle of life. If we are climbing, if we are growing, if we are seeking help, if we are connecting with the spiritual side of ourselves, if we as people reflect the very essence of the shofar itself, slightly stooped, sometimes cracked, but facing upwards, then it's in that place that absolute beauty, redemption, greatness, and joy are found. It's in that place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides within man. So that is my bracha to my children and to all of our children. Alo na'ale, tisa einechem ure yes makom erachok. Lift your eyes and see the future that is brought through this journey, to see the beauty that is ahead. And that is my bracha to you. At this very moment, let us give thought about the year ahead. How do we climb? How do we ascend? Where are we? Where are we going? And what beauty might await at the end of that journey? Shana Tovah.